This is a Pivotal Conversations podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Girl Fit Method podcast. I'm your host, Natasha Wakefield, and I am here to help you take charge of your health, get empowered, and ultimately become the best version of yourself. Let's go. Hello and welcome back to the Girl Fit Method podcast. On today's podcast episode, I am joined by the incredible Nat Kay. Hello, Nat.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my absolute pleasure. Now, we were just chatting about how do I explain who you are.
I know, right?
You do a lot, which is really awesome. So I've got here 2-time best-selling author, speaker, and all-round expert when it comes to fertility as well. But maybe, like, if I can give you the opportunity to give you your elevator pitch, sure. How do you describe who you are and what you do?
Ultimately, I love to help women understand their hormones in a really simple way so that they can make good, informed choices for their long-term health.
Okay.
Because I can't tell you how many times women will say to me, I wish I knew this earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's in a nutshell, whether you're 16 or you're 66. It doesn't really discriminate. And our hormones change, we get really confused about them. So just trying to break it down and keep it simple.
Isn't it unfair that we get like the short stick us females? It doesn't stop, does it?
It doesn't stop, but I think we're very unaware as to the little things and the simple things that we can do to really move the needle when it comes to our hormones. And it doesn't have to be terrible, but we listen to everybody else's terrible stories.
Yeah.
So we just adopt the fact that it's going to be bad. It's no different to listening to someone's horrific labour stories in, you know, pregnancy and then labour. No one wants to listen to those stories.
No, and we all tell them, don't we? We don't tell the good stories. No. We're always telling the ones that are, maybe because we think they're more juicy, but look, there is, I would say, like, within my friendship circle, like, probably 80% of my girlfriends have got some kind of hormonal issue. And then obviously we work with girls as well. A lot of them come to us because they have irregular cycles. They've got PCOS, endometriosis. I just recorded a podcast episode yesterday on menopause.
Right.
You know, and there is not enough information. Girls aren't taught, even from a young age, what their body is going to go through at different times in their life. And without that knowledge, you know, if things kind of go haywire, it really ruins your quality of life. And also physically we can talk about, but also mentally.
Absolutely.
It's only mad.
I mean, your hormones dictate everything. So if they are, and some are so concentrated in your body that even if they're slightly off, you feel that with every part of your being. Mm. And then some are a bit more diluted and you can get away with discrepancies. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It's not just, it's physical, but it's emotional, it's mental, it's every level because they control most of what we do, whether it's conscious or unconscious. So it's important that we know about it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, you can feel like you're going absolutely mad. Honestly, every single month, the week before my period, I think to myself, what am I doing with my life?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, you know, like the world is ending. And you really, it sounds silly and you can try and compartmentalize it and go, oh, look, you know, I know I'm due for my period, but you truly feel it.
Right. But if you don't know that.
Yes,
if you don't know where you are in your cycle.
Yeah.
I know for me, my creativity every month, two days before my period's due, is in the toilet. Like, don't even ask me to be, you know, and when you've got to show up and you've got people watching, it's difficult to go away. Yeah. I need to retract. I need to go away. If I don't know that and I'm, say, writing a book, you're like, when is this coming back? What is wrong with me? Is this my life now? Have I lost my mojo?
Yeah.
And it feels awful. Yeah. If I know that for those 2 days I need to give myself a little bit of grace, take it easy, and if I do that, I come out better than if I don't, it's only 2 days. I can do that. Or for you, maybe it's a week, whatever it is. But you're absolutely correct that it does, that's the impact of our hormones. But if we don't play into it and we don't lean into it, it can feel horrible. So we have to figure out the ebbs and flows. We have to figure out when we're on. And it's easy to do once you know.
Yeah.
We can talk about that. But you have to figure out when you actually are on and you are peaking, you are nailing things, and when it's okay to actually chill. The problem is that men don't have these cycles.
Yes.
So we base what we see and what we do very much on the masculine influence when we're very different.
Yeah.
And so it's okay to say, I can't do that today.
Yeah.
I'm just not feeling it.
And the unfortunate thing is, like, I have found a lot of women are hard on themselves and just expect themselves to push.
Absolutely.
When they're not feeling it, rather than really listening to their body and giving themselves grace. Before we get too much into this, I want to backtrack slightly.
Yes, please.
Because you've done a lot in this area, and I'm really curious to find out why you chose this specific avenue, this specific topic that you want to help women with. Was it an experience from yourself, or was it, you know, from those around you? Like, where did it start?
I wish I had an elaborate answer for how I started off in the, not even pursuit, although it was a bit of a pursuit, but helping women.
Yeah.
My background's Chinese medicine. I'm a herbalist, acupuncturist. It was through the experience of patients. And it was, I've been in the industry for nearly 20 years. It's been a long time of seeing the same thing over and over again. And women would come to me and say, Nat, why am I having ovulation pain? Why am I suffering from PMS? Why can't I fall pregnant? And I never learned, I studied for a long time and I never learned the answers to these questions. I did gynecology as a subject at school, like I physiology, all of it, biosciences. And I didn't have answers to their questions, and I also didn't feel like I was equipped to actually treat them. And it was countless women with the same questions that one day I was like, you know what, I actually have to do something about this. I want to answer their questions. I want to know why that they've got pain, not just, oh, you can take birth control and it'll take it away. So it was because of the patient that I started to get curious. And I would say to patients, I don't quite know, but let's try and fix it. Let me try and see if we can figure out what's going on. Now, fast forward, and it's, you know, go down many rabbit holes, and it's not quite so foreign nowadays.
Yeah.
But 20 years ago, we weren't talking about it. No one was talking about why. And really what it came back to in my research was modern lifestyle. Women's modern lifestyle was impacting their hormones. It was meaning their cortisol was high. It was robbing from other essential sex hormones. And that meant they felt something, whether it was moody, pain, inflammation, or even just missing cycles. Like, it could be a physical thing as well, PCOS.
Yeah.
So I didn't choose it. It chose me. In fact, I said one day, I never want to treat women's health, because let's just think about this for 1 second. Yeah. Treating hormonal women every day, to me, was like, no thanks. Like, why would I sign myself up for that? That's not what I want to do. But fast forward, and here we are, and it's a privilege to treat women. Yeah. And I feel very, it was right place, right time, a decision that I made. And look, to be honest, I was the girl on the floor with the passing out with the period pain every month.
Really?
It wasn't until I started studying and I got an understanding of the body, and I didn't even put two and two together.
Yeah.
My periods got better when I changed my approach, but I didn't care about that. I actually cared about how I physically looked. I started to work out and I started to eat better and look after myself, and my pain went away. But that's not every woman's story either. There's many other factors that can feed into that. So it chose me, and here we are. And
I love that. Oh, and you've no doubt changed the lives of so many women, because it is, you know, you have hormonal issues. It can feel like it's taking over your life completely. Just going on, and I really want to delve in today on the contraceptive pill, because I think back to when I first got my period in my early teens, I probably got put on the pill at like 14. And the reason I got put on it was because of, I got pimples.
Right.
So skin issues. I went through my teenage years and up until probably, it was only my teenage years up until about 18. I had really heavy periods as well. So I was off and on the pill, and that was the solution all the time. Just go on it. I'd go on it. It would send me crazy. I mean, I can't go on it. I go loopy. I just feel incredibly anxious, angry, frustrated, moody. And it actually didn't fix any of the problems anyway.
Right.
And I think that's such a familiar story for so many women. And, you know, I don't want to sound too like, you know, there's obviously a place for things like that. However, I think there just seems to be a lack of education around, okay, how can we actually fix things, like you were saying, through lifestyle choices. And I kind of found that as I got older and I learned as well about my body, I learned about nutrition, I learned about exercise, that my cycles changed completely in that they were shorter, but still within a healthy, you know, range, lighter, and I might feel discomfort and some cramping on the first day, but that's it.
Right.
and not as much bloating as well. Mm-hmm. And so I want to dive into things with you around that. So contraceptive pill, let's talk about it. What is your stance on it? Do you think anyone should take it at any point?
I think your story is very common. The 14-year-old with the acne or the period pain or the missing periods, which has to take the cake because you're not actually having a period whilst 100%. You're on the pill. So I think that there's many problems with the process and the system. And the first being is that more than likely the reason that you're actually going to the doctor to get an answer and the symptoms that you have, the solution isn't druggable. So, but your doctor wants to give you a solution.
Yeah.
That's their job. So it's not the doctor's fault, it's the system's fault, because really your doctor's not, unless they're a specialist in hormones, they're not necessarily equipped to treat it in any other way.
Yeah.
So their toolkit is usually birth control, if you're a little bit older, an IUD, a Mirena or a copper IUD, or then you can go down the path of other, you know, more long-term solutions, I shouldn't say that, but birth control methods, like the Depo-Provera shot or, you know, there's other options.
Yeah.
The problem with all of them is that they have never been able to fix any hormone imbalances, and they never will be because they're a contraception.
Mm.
And they're designed to flatline your hormones so you're not getting the dance of your hormones every month, which is where the problem lies, because it's not actually fixing the issue.
That's a very good point. I just want to pause on that for a second, because I have this conversation so much with our clients around we have lots of them come to us who don't have a cycle. They go on the pill, they get a cycle. And then we also have a lot of younger women, and this was actually my experience as well, where I went and saw an endocrinologist, that's how you say it, isn't it, a hormone doctor. And at a very young age, they wanted to put me on HRT. And I went on HRT, and we've had that same experience with our girls, and any listeners, that is advice that is still unfortunately given at a young age, and there is dangers associated with that.
I mean, no drug is without side effects.
Yeah.
So, and there are women listening right now saying, I'm on birth control and I feel completely fine.
Mm.
They're not the women that I see in my office, and they're not the women that reach out to me via Instagram or come up to me in the street and say, thank you so much. I didn't realise what it was like to feel like me until I came off birth control. So I'm not saying that it's not right. I'm saying that it's not going to fix the problem, and often when women transition off birth control, not only is the problem still there, but it's actually 10 times
worse.
That's
where the issues come.
It was never addressed. It's the long-term use of birth control. We know it upsets gut health and actually really wears away gut integrity. We know it depletes the body of essential vitamins and minerals. So that alone is a problem in itself. But like I said, it doesn't actually fix the problem either. And for women who already have hormone imbalances like yourself, it can actually send them absolutely crazy, or they feel like they're going crazy anyway. Not to mention other issues like, you know, increased migraines, blood clots. There's all sorts of other issues involved. So I always say to a patient, is it right for you? I don't know. I don't know how much. Let's say you're in excruciating pain every month. It might be a short-term solution whilst we work away in the background to actually fix the problem and then transition you off.
Mm.
What's the long-term plan?
Yeah.
Is it just stay on this until you're ready to have babies and then we'll talk about it? The other issue is the younger that you are, you introduce birth control, it seems to be, research suggests that the more of an issue it has on our fertility. So the problem, or the reason being, is let's say at 14, like you said, you went on birth control. Your sex hormones don't mature until around the age of 21, fully mature. So what it means is you're halting that maturation at 14. So when you transition off, and say you came off birth control at 22, let's say, you're as mature as your 14-year-old self when it comes to your sex hormones. So it's got to pick up where it left off and then go through that process, which is why the later that you take birth control, the less problematic it is on fertility, because your sex hormones have actually established themselves. So I want every mother to hear this, because they want solutions for their teenage daughter. They don't want their teenage daughter in pain or to have acne. That's debilitating. So let's find a solution that isn't actually going to potentially impact their long-term hormone health and their fertility and beyond, because fertility isn't just about babies. No. Fertility is about your hormones working properly.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really feel very passionately about allowing mothers to hear this information because they're generally the one making the decision for the teenager.
And they feel like they're making the right decision.
Absolutely.
And you go to your doctor, you trust your doctor. And so when they're saying, hey, take this option, take this pill, you're like, oh, okay.
Well, and I would think to that point, it would be the best advice I have is asking your doctor, what other options do I have?
Mm.
Maybe they don't have any other options because, like I said, it's not a druggable problem. Mm. It's a lifestyle issue most of the time. And that's a hard pill to swallow, pardon the pun, because we have to do different things to get a different outcome.
Yeah.
But your body is speaking to you by way of symptoms anyway.
Mm.
So it is very important, I think, that we look at, okay, how 9 times out of 10, we're not taking the pill to save our life.
No.
Actually, 9.9 times out of 10, we're probably not, unless you have some bleeding disorder.
Yeah.
So let's look at what other options there are and let's look at really what's happening, which hormones need support, is there a lot of inflammation in your body, where's your gut health at, what's your liver doing? There's so many pieces to that puzzle and it's very treatable.
All right, let's get into it. I'm going to put aside the girls that are on the pill purely because they don't want to fall pregnant.
Oh, yeah, that was my point.
Yeah.
It's one thing to take it for contraception.
Yes.
And to that point as well, if that is you, you're the person that needs the multivitamin, multimineral and fish oil at best.
Like, right, okay.
So get on those things to support and try and really, support your body as much as you can.
Okay, so just on that, so anyone that is on the pill and they want to stay on the pill, what supplements do you recommend taking?
I just suggest a multivitamin, multimineral and a fish oil.
Okay.
At the minimum.
Okay.
To just really try and continue to support the body. The pill is pretty bossy.
Mm.
It will always rule rank, but we can do things in the background to at least try and make sure that we're doing what we can.
Mm. Quick interruption. So if you want to win a $100 Gymshark voucher, I give one away per month to anyone that leaves a rating, review and subscribes to the podcast. All you need to do is take a screenshot of that rating, review, send it to me on Instagram at GirlFitMethod podcast Instagram page and you will go into the running. All right, back to the podcast. And I think it's important for girls to understand as well. We all know there's other ways to not fall pregnant. And if you do have a healthy cycle and you know your body, it's very clear when you know that you could potentially fall pregnant.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I have gotten a lot of mothers say to me, it's very irresponsible for you to suggest that my daughter shouldn't be on birth control. And to me, it's irresponsible to not understand your cycle.
100%.
When you know that actually you can potentially only fall pregnant for a handful of days.
Yeah.
I'm at a point in my life where if you were to say to me, well, how do you know you're ovulating? It's like, well, how do you not know?
Yeah.
It's very obvious.
Yeah.
Because I have a very healthy cycle and I can tell when that is. And I joke, I say, for me to fall pregnant by accident, I would have to be blind drunk and like absolutely unaware because it's so, so obvious.
Yeah.
I want that for my daughter and I want that for other young girls as well. So that's the first thing. But also young girls should be using barrier methods. If it's for a contraceptive method, they absolutely should be using a barrier method because STDs and STIs are a massive issue.
Mm.
So that to me is not irresponsible. That's actually very responsible, safe sex. And then also we're very lucky that we have the option of the morning after pill or a plan B. Mm. And so that's what I will be teaching my daughter. Mm. I'll be saying, let's understand your cycle. And also if you do want to go on birth control, that's your decision, but let's save that for later on down the track once your hormones are established and it's going to be less problematic long term.
And what age was that you were mentioning?
21.
21. So, you know, you're still quite young.
I know. And it is hard because people don't really want or welcome in a teen pregnancy. And I understand that. But also the pill's not necessarily as effective as we've...
I know so many of my friends that have fallen pregnant on the pill.
Right. And usually it's put back to user error.
No,
and it hasn't been user error.
100%.
And that's also because it's a one size fits all.
Yes.
And we're not all the same.
Yeah.
So right. It fails people all the time.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we've got that. I want to talk about the girls that go to their doctor because they have really painful periods and they're in excruciating pain. Maybe they are bleeding for a long time. Their cycle's irregular. So they go to their GP. Their GP says, all right, let's get you a regular cycle. Let's pop you on the pill. For those girls that are like desperate, because you know, you would see it all the time and I see it too. It's not nice. It ruins your quality of life. where do they even start? You know, if we're looking at lifestyle factors, what are the main reasons you see women having these really painful cycles or irregular cycles?
Yeah. So, I mean, we really need to figure out what are your hormones telling us, and that's not as hard as what you might think.
Mm.
And our body's clues, signs and symptoms never lie.
Yeah.
So if you have a heavy period, or if you have an absent period, or you have a light period, this is information your body is giving you that we can actually use to dissect, all right, what do we think is going on here?
Mm.
The number one issue we see with women, for me anyway, would have to be issues with their estrogen regulation. And this is, again, comes back to modern lifestyle. So yeah. Estrogen is the hormone that builds our lining. It's what starts from the beginning of our cycle. So once we start bleeding and we get our period, estrogen starts to build. And right through up until when we ovulate, it has its one of its peaks at that point in time. Yeah. And then we get another peak again in the middle of the next part of the cycle. But estrogen is actually driven crazy by so many things in our modern living, stress being one, mm-hmm. plastics, mm-hmm. chemicals in our cleaning products, our body products, heating in plastic containers, canned tuna. So many women, how many women eat tuna because it's a good alternative,
mm.
but it's lined, it comes from a can that's lined with plastic.
Mm.
So what all of these things are, they're not true estrogen, but your body can't tell the difference and it shows up like estrogen in your body. So it just adds it to the estrogen pile.
Now, I've got a question quickly to interrupt you. Why do they put them in these products then? Like what's the...
It's in, say, let's look at cleaning products, it's just certain chemicals that we use to clean.
Right, okay.
Body products, there's so many. The average woman has exposed herself to at least 70 chemicals just through her body products before she's left the house in the morning.
I put my makeup on, I spray perfume, and I'm thinking, what am I doing?
But the nice thing is there's amazing alternatives. So when I first started in this space, and look, I'm going to say, if I can't find an alternative that performs, I don't want it.
Yeah.
So I like to be, I would like to think that I like to be relevant, I like to be modern, I don't want to miss out on things. Mm. But there are so many great products that perform now that you don't have to miss out.
Yeah.
And if you're listening to this going, oh, my goodness, I'm going to throw out my whole beauty cabinet and I need to clean out the kitchen sink, the laundry sink and the bathroom sink or the bathroom cupboard, you don't need to do that. You just replace when one thing is finished, you just find the next best option.
Yeah.
But they all contain chemicals, and some of our foods do too, that mimic estrogen, which just adds to the estrogen pile.
Sure.
Most women have too much estrogen in their body. And this is the woman that the pill really doesn't work for because it is a dose of both estrogen and progesterone. So if you've already got too much and then you go and add more, you don't want more, right?
And quickly just snap for anyone that's listening and doesn't understand, what are the symptoms of someone that has high estrogen levels?
So the number one symptom I would say is heavy bleeding because estrogen builds our lining. Okay. So more estrogen, more lining, more bleeding.
Yeah.
That's not to say that women can have other issues with estrogen where it's low.
Yep.
How do we know? Less estrogen, less lining, less bleeding.
Yep.
So you're looking at a heavy period or a light period because no one's really complaining about a mid-level period, right? And if you are, it's probably pain, which is still we can talk about. And it's not the only hormone imbalance, but it's probably 90% of my patients I start here.
Right.
And it's not as hard as you think to actually address it. So we're looking at, we've just spoken about the external factors that can really drive estrogen crazy. Like I said, stress can have an impact as well.
Mm-hmm.
But then what my job becomes is to how do I get the body internally to regulate estrogen better?
Mm.
First place that we do that is the gut. We know we have certain gut bacteria that help us to regulate estrogen as a starting point. We don't know lots about them, but we know they're there. The second place is the liver. We know the liver has to detoxify our hormones,
mm-hmm.
and that's through phase two liver detox. It's the pathway where we actually detoxify and clear. And if that's not working properly, which is most women's issue, then that's going to add to the estrogen pile.
Yeah,
and then finally, the final mechanism is the bowel. We clear out excess anything, but we clear out excess hormones via the bowel.
Mm.
And so if the bowels aren't working, which is probably the number one thing I see with women, their bowels aren't working, they've got heavy periods. I'm like, right, I know exactly what we need to do here. We need to get your bowels working properly. We need to then help to support your liver, and also obviously always every issue comes back to gut health. We know that nowadays. So just support healthy gut function. the number one way that I get women to do this is to make sure they're having enough fiber, which sounds ridiculously simple. Mm. And the reason we want to do that is fiber helps to feed the good gut bacteria. Mm-hmm. It helps to support detoxification in the body. It's a binder, so estrogen or excess estrogen will bind to it,
yeah.
and it'll help to support healthy bowel function. Yeah. So if you can just do that one thing.
And how much fiber are we aiming for a day?
I get patients to add fiber to the beginning of every meal as a way of also regulating blood sugar, which is another okay. bonus when it comes to other hormone issues yeah. like PCOS. How much? I don't really, what I get them to do is have it before the meal, which might look like a small green salad, a handful of almonds, a handful of berries, a carrot, like just something to set the stage.
Yeah.
So I try not to get too far into the numbers because then I find a lot of women get very stressed out yes. about it. If I can just say, where's the fiber on this plate? Try and have it first. But if you don't have it first, that's okay. Something's better than nothing. But it really does help to set the stage for digestion. It's a very simple thing that we and can all do.
That's an easy habit for them to form.
It's an easy, yeah. easy habit. And can I tell you, it works phenomenally for hormones. Mm. So if I can get, and like I said, it helps primarily with the bowel. So if we can get the bowels to be more regular, we can make sure we're eliminating. Women might have heavy periods, but they might not have bowel issues or they might not be constipated. They maybe have loose bowels. Mm. It's still an issue because they're still not binding and eliminating properly. Yeah. So we want Goldilocks. We want the yeah. Goldilocks bowel movement, yeah. which really helps with your hormones in more ways than you realise. And like I said, it's not a druggable solution.
Mm.
It's a lifestyle and nutrition solution. Mm.
That is that I actually didn't know that. That's I guess like making sure that you're emptying on a regular basis can really help with leveling out those estrogen levels. I'm just thinking that I know that women in their 20s tend to be the ones that suffer the most with digestive issues. Mm. You hear about that a lot. And it's kind of interesting. I wonder the correlation between a lot of young women in their 20s being on the contraceptive pill potentially and then also having these, you know, symptoms of like IBS.
Yeah.
Which is very frustrating because you can go on all of these elimination diets, you can be doing all the right things and nothing's improving when maybe we're looking at the wrong things. Maybe it's not that, you know, this particular food is setting you off. It could potentially be, but maybe it is this hormone imbalance.
Yeah. And I think what it actually is stress levels for the majority Absolutely. Of women.
yeah.
That also, we know that stress upsets gut function.
Mm.
Your body can't digest and be stressed at the same mm-hmm. time. You upset the gut bacteria. You upset the colonization. Mm. We know that that happens. So there are many pieces to the puzzle. What I try and do with women is get them to start with the easiest things that they're going to actually see a very quick result from, and then we add layers to that. So let's say we added fiber for the woman that is estrogen dominant.
Mm-hmm.
The next phase would be reducing inflammatory foods. I don't think that's rocket science,
no.
but if I can show them that something can feel better and then add another layer and then they feel better again, they're more than likely to continue to do it, right? Because they're feeling better, they're not bloated, they're going to the toilet. Like,
yeah.
I don't know about you, but when you have that bowel motion that you're like, oh, that was great.
Oh, it feels like...
You're just like, oh, thank goodness.
The release. And the thing is like when you're constipated and you're not going to the toilet, it feels like it's the only thing on your mind because you're just uncomfortable, you're feeling stuffed and your body's just tense.
Right.
I think we've all felt that.
Absolutely. So just simple lifestyle solutions are super important.
An anti-inflammatory diet, sorry.
Oh, yeah. So I just say reducing inflammatory foods.
Okay.
So sugar, gluten, dairy. Now, yep. not everyone's intolerant to all those things. Not everybody's even reactive to all of those things. But it's important to know that they do trigger inflammation in your body. And if you are stressed on top of that, you really won't be able to digest them properly. So that's why you can go to Paris and eat a croissant and be fine. But you come back here and you do the same thing and you feel awful is because you're back in your daily grind.
Yeah, okay.
So also I want people to be able to live their life at the same time. Mm. So we've got to find out, well, how flexible are you? Where's your threshold at? Yes, okay, I can get away with having gluten on the weekends, but I don't have it during the week, let's say. everyone's different, so I can't put a number on that either. But it is important, I think, that that's the next part or phase that we look at is, okay, when it comes to especially nutrition, reducing those foods that are going to be a trigger, because they will contribute to your period pain. Mm. They will contribute to your heavy bleeding, mm-hmm. just in terms of what they do in that internal landscape.
Mm. I agree. I actually think that was, for my experience as well, going back, like when I was a teenager, I had no idea about nutrition. Oh. I just ate what I wanted. You know, I was massive. I just would have bags of lollies every day and like hot dogs. And right. Which is, you know, there's a place for all of these things. But once I learned about nutrition and wanted to fill my diet with foods that gave me more energy, made me feel good, a lot of the symptoms in particular, like my skin issues, cleared up. And I really feel as well that my cycles got less intense as well.
Do you know the other thing? I know that there's a lot of information circulating about this at the moment, and there's definitely research. But I also think that self-image, body image, the stress that we put on ourselves as young girls mm-hmm. to be a certain way mm-hmm. really fuels a lot of that as well.
Totally.
And I look now at women that are having challenges with their fertility, which I know we've just changed, you know, eras. But I still feel like there's such an underlying emotional element to so many things. This, I know doctors have actually looked and researched, and they've been able to see that. And I see this in clinic too, treating a woman and getting them to be better, like let's say 90% better, only to find 6 months later they're back where they started from, but finding out there is some other underlying emotional scenario going on, whether it's trauma, someone in their life that's continually, showing up and tormenting them, mm-hmm. For lack of a better description. But this is something else that is, I think, the unspoken part of our physical presentation with our hormone health as women. Mm-hmm. And there's so much more we've got to learn about that, but I do think that that's something that's worth mentioning, that it's probably the hardest thing to actually treat.
Yeah, well, you can't fix that overnight, can you?
You definitely can't fix it overnight, but I think a lot of these things start with awareness. And when the time is right. And also, if you are the person that has endometriosis that is in doubled over pain for, 1 week of the month, and you're listening to this, you're going, it's just all too hard. Mm. You start with the small things. Yeah. When you start to feel better, then we get to tackle the bigger things. But you got to feel better first.
100%.
So we don't want to put pressure on people either. No. But I think it's more about knowing that there are ways to do things.
Yeah.
And it's not... this is my life now forever I'm in.
You don't need to settle for how you're feeling. I think what can be really frustrating for girls is hearing that stress could potentially be the cause for gut issues and hormone issues. Mm. You see this, I'm sure, every day, and I have conversations with my girls and they are so hyper-focused on not liking the way that they look in particular, so it's a body image thing. Mm. They pick themselves apart. They are so consumed with weight loss, with what they should be eating, what they shouldn't be eating. They are so stressed. And then they're like, hold on, I'm doing low FODMAPs. I'm doing all of the right things. Why am I still not seeing any changes? That's nothing really is going to change. You can do all of these things, but if you're in a chronic state of stress all the time and picking yourself apart, nothing is actually going to change.
Which is so hard, because it's like, well, now what are you telling me to do?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Just change your mindset.
Yeah, right?
Psst, I just need to share a quick message with you all. So listen, if you are stuck under eating, over exercising and seeing no changes in your body and you are ready to make that change, head down to the show notes. We have an application form for our one-on-one coaching program that includes our three-phased coaching method that has helped women across the world find food freedom and improve the look of their body. All right, back to the podcast episode.
So I do think what I say to this patient is, let's first of all prioritize your sleep, because nothing good comes from being tired. You make poor food choices, you're unlikely to move your body, your gut health shuts down, therefore it robs certain hormones, or it borrows from other hormones, so it definitely causes hormone imbalances. And when we say hormone imbalance, I just want to put it, because there are definitely groups of people going around saying hormone imbalances don't exist. A, that's not true in my experience, but B, also we're talking about the proportion of hormones to each other.
Yeah.
And that's what an imbalance is.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is just important, I think, to say that. But I will always say to these women, okay, we've got to prioritize sleep. Let's just start with that. Like, what's the one thing we can actually focus on and then continue to go from there? Because if I give you a overhaul plan, you're going to do it for 3 days and go, you know what?
Too much.
Nah, too much. Yeah. Can't do that. So it's little things. It's not big things. But it is all dependent. I think it comes back to lifestyle, nutrition, checking in with stress, emotional health and sleep. And those things are super important. And no one's going to be like, oh, that's revolutionary, Nat. But we're still not listening.
But that's because we don't want to do it.
Right.
Like, we think about it. We don't want to do it. Yeah. Like, we want to do what's easier, and that's a pill. And I think, like, that's our generation as well. We're all guilty of it.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a quicker way for us to fix something and we're told, hey, like, this thing is going to change it instantly, great, let's do it.
Do you know what, to more to the point, I still think that we are scared to not take the pill, as in not the pill, but a pill.
Yeah.
Because it's been the medical solution. So we're like, what if I don't do that, and that's been the advice that I've received, what if I don't do that? Am I going to get in trouble? Is my uterus going to fall out? Like, you know, we go to the polar end of what might happen because A, we don't understand it.
Yes.
B, we fear it, which makes it worse. So it's okay to explore your health, and it's also okay to be in charge of your own health.
Yeah.
Nobody, and you don't have to borrow other people's opinion as your fact either.
Well, there's a lot of scare tactics as well, I think, that are used just in saying that, you know, like if you go in, if you're speaking with a specialist and they're telling you, hey, you need to take this because, and listen, I preface is I'm obviously not a doctor.
Right.
But, and there is absolutely times when people do need to take certain medications. I'm just thinking back on my own experience. I had my little boy through IVF, right? Now, I had come from my 20s. I had suffered with, I lost my period because of undereating. I had an eating disorder. Then I had chronic undereating and overexercising, right? So my hormones were just all over the joint. And I was told, you know, I would never be able to conceive naturally. And then I was going into early menopause, and that's why I wasn't getting my period. So I go through the IVF process, which is
horrific.
Horrible. Yeah.
And so many women will actually vouch for how challenging it is.
Oh, it's very difficult. Yeah. And it's, I mean, you're injecting yourself with a huge amount of hormones. And then that had repercussions for me, actually gut health repercussions. Funny you say that, for 12 months after, they thought I had Crohn's disease because I was going to the toilet so much. And there was definitely a correlation between the two. However, I have now got a normal cycle and have consistently for years because I've changed those elements that were the cause of me not getting that period. Now, I'm all great now.
Right. And this is very common. This is many women's stories. They've been told they can't do something, and I don't think it's very ambitious for anyone to claim that maybe as you presented then and there, it's something that's warranted to say you won't conceive right now as you stand right now. Well, you weren't because you weren't ovulating and you weren't getting a period, so you can't. But that doesn't mean your body can't change.
Absolutely.
Right? So you've been given an opinion as it stands right now that you've then taken on as, oh, well, this is my life now. And obviously now down the track where the pressure's not on, you're not trying to conceive, you've got healthier ways, you've got more of an awareness – and your stress levels are probably in a different direction now. Your body has been able to bring everything back online again. But your body is always responding to the environment that it's in. And again, that can be stressful to listen to because you're like, what do you mean? This is my fault? It's like, it's not your fault until you know better.
Absolutely.
But there are things that we can do to absolutely improve this scenario. And so I think that this is where the problem lies. You're told you can't or you won't ever achieve anything, therefore you believe it, and then you go on that path of going, all right, well, I can't do that, so I have to do this. I see many women that have been told that they will never conceive. I see many women that are told they'll never have a period again. I see many women that have been told they're in menopause and they're not. And it's just simply a situation of being able to actually understand what their hormones are doing and looking at test results and being able to interpret test results. It's very different to read a report and then to also look at test results and go, okay, how do we get you back to optimal? They're not the same thing.
Yeah.
Right? And then also the stress of conception in your case was taken. That wasn't – you obviously now on the other side of it, you're not stressed about that. Mm. And I would say be careful because you could probably fall pregnant now that you are cycling.
Yeah.
There's nothing to say that you couldn't. So you've lived that. You've experienced that. And I think this is perfect to what I'm saying is nothing's permanent. We're constantly changing and you can get your cycle back on track up until – probably you're 50 almost. Mm. So never say never. I've seen women's cycles return in their 50s too, by the way.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
And it's just been a result of high stress.
Yeah, I think we – it's really encouraging for women to hear that,
yeah.
I think, because they can feel really hopeless. And that's how I felt. I wasn't even ready to have a child, but I got told I better now, otherwise I'll never have one. So I was like, oh, okay.
Yes.
You know, and that's not the case, right?
Absolutely. But like I said, you know – they're giving you their best advice in that moment.
Correct, yeah.
But that's not a permanent fix.
Yeah.
Unless someone has had physically something removed, that's different. Mm. Obviously, if you don't have ovaries or a uterus, you're not going to be able to have children. But I really don't believe for the vast majority of women that they can't have children.
Mm.
I would never accept that.
Well, it's become such an epidemic almost. Every second person is...
To that point too, I think the idea of IVF for many women is, it's kind of like, oh, well, if I haven't conceived in a certain amount of months, we'll just do IVF. And I think until you've actually been through IVF, you're like, hang on a minute, it's not that easy.
A lot of money too.
Right. It's not necessarily that easy. Yeah. And I really don't think women understand that the best thing you can do is put your body in the best position for conception, whether it's IVF and assisted.
Totally.
Or natural fertility, you still want to be in the best position.
100%. And I really feel, and I was probably in this situation where I was kind of aware as to why I wasn't getting a period, but I didn't quite want to make those changes, right? So that option, all right, I don't need to feel uncomfortable. Maybe I don't need to gain weight.
Right.
I can just, do IVF.
Well, I think that's – estrogen is very protective. We need it. But also it's produced from – obviously we produce it from our reproductive organs, but we also produce it from our fat cells. Mm. So we need a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a very common story. And women are very afraid. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's so great that you speak about that because I think it's a lot of women are in this same position.
Yeah.
And, look, we always want someone to be as healthy as possible.
Yeah.
The challenge is our – healthy weight and our ideal weight and our fertile weight aren't the same.
100%. Yeah, 100%. And you know what? We have girls, and you probably see it as well with women, where they are trying so very hard to hold on to that weight that they're at, and they're killing themselves for it. You know, like their hormones are all over the joint, or they have this terrible relationship with food. Their quality of life is terrible because we've got this idea, and it comes back to the body image concept where it's – that is kind of controlling all the decisions that they're making, where that isn't healthy for them.
No.
And like, I think it's really difficult for women to understand that you might be chasing this look, but when you're actually in a healthy body, your mind starts to think healthier.
Yeah.
And therefore your outlook is healthier. And then your thoughts are not on food, exercise, your body all the time. You're living your life. But that's quite hard to convince someone.
It's very hard until you're actually in it.
Yes.
Living it, going, oh, this feels so much nicer. Who knew?
Yes.
Scared to let go as well. It's scary to let go as well. Mm. But I also think let's focus on the things that you can do to move the needle in the direction you want to go.
Mm.
And one day you get to look back and go, thank goodness. Like I'm sure you look back and go,
oh, never again. I would ever again.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But you figured it out.
Yes. But I had to surrender, like you were saying. Wow, what an interesting chat. All right, so for anyone listening, let's sum that up. If girls are like, I don't know what to do, I'm getting told to go on the pill, or I've come off the contraceptive pill, my hormones are kind of everywhere, what are some take-homes? I guess if we've talked about increasing fibre or making sure they're having enough fibre, and then stress levels as well, which is kind of a hard one, but something you can chip away at, like you were saying.
Yeah, stress and emotions.
Yeah.
I mean, emotional health is probably the hardest.
Yeah.
And probably the biggest.
Yeah.
But doesn't have to be the first thing that you actually address.
Yeah.
Once you're feeling better, you're going to be in a better position to then
to be
go
able
ahead
to do
and
it.
Address that.
Yeah.
And also that's just going to make your life better anyway, I think. So, yeah, we've spoken about estrogen being the most common, but there are other hormone imbalances we can, that, you know, PCOS we sort of touched on and skirted around, and that approach is a little bit different.
Yeah.
But I think the first thing is figuring out, okay, which hormones are actually the problem here? What symptoms and signs are my body telling me? And we talked about that heavy period, light period, or no period are the main three main things that we see. And then using that to guide us as to what the next best things are. But the things that I've spoken about, the fiber, the anti-inflammatory or the low inflammatory foods, stress, everyone can do those things.
Yeah.
And they're kind of foundational. And then we branch off into the specifics of what women need to do. And I think that having that basic understanding is really nice. And then sometimes we do need to call on a health professional to actually help us with the next layer to that.
Yeah.
But the foundation is important, and you should be doing that. And that's the one thing that you can take away and go and start doing straight away.
I love it. That's definitely tangible tips that people can implement quite easily, like into their day-to-day now, and see the benefits, hopefully.
Absolutely.
But, Oh, I've really, really been an interesting chat. I've learned a lot, Nat.
Thank you so much for having me.
People want to know more about you and where you're at, where can we find you?
Yeah. So if you're listening to this and you're like, do I actually have a hormone imbalance? If you go to my website, natkringoudis.com, literally there's a pop-up that's so annoying, but it actually asks you, are your hormones out of balance? And you can fill in a quick questionnaire and actually find that out. Everything is at Nat Kringoudis. So if you just, it sounds so corny, but there's only one. So if you search that, you're going to find it, and all roads lead to that. So,
Beautiful.
Figure out what your body's telling you. Use your signs and symptoms and get curious. Don't worry, because that's just going to be stressful, and just let your body kind of lead you as to what the next steps are.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. Until next time, big love, Coach Tash.